After that, I'll request Mr. Matthew to speak.
I never thought that actually today the day would come when all of us would assemble to narrate the glories of Shambhala Prabhu. But it has come with a very, 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 very heavy heart. All of us are gathered over here to recount the wonderful association that we had over the years. My association with Shambhala Prabhu actually goes back several years when he was a brahmachari at the Radha Gopinath temple. And what really struck me about him, of course every brahmachari is unique and everybody has a different way by which they relate to you and they relate to others. But Shambhala Prabhu's very unique nature was he was extremely personal. He was a person who actually had all the time for you. And I would remember days when I would be sitting with him for hours together and he would be so deeply immersed in reading the scriptures and he would narrate so many different pastimes and I would be the one who would be actually hearing whatever he had to say. And then after he left the ashram, we sort of got disconnected. And then he moved over to Vrindavan and then a few years back, one day Govind Prabhu told me that Shambhala Prabhu has now created a wonderful facility in Kerala. And if at all I wanted to take treatment, I should go over there. So immediately I called up Shambhala Prabhu and told him that I'm planning to come. And then Shambhala Prabhu told me that Radhakund Prabhu is also here at the same time. So why don't both of you come together? So Radhakund Prabhu and myself, we actually spent, Radhakund Prabhu spent a longer time, but I spent 15 days with Shambhala Prabhu. And that was a time when actually all the qualities of him as a doctor manifested. And I could see that here was a person who was so intently passionate about his Ayurveda that he really wanted to cure the patient. I mean, there was nothing superficial about it. He would come and spend hours with me to such an extent. Of course, at that point of time, his business was just growing, so he had very few patients. But he had all the time in the world, morning, afternoon, evening, he would come and spend time with me, hearing about my past history, discussing from the scriptures. And this 15 days that I spent with him somehow passed so fast. But then he told me that, Krishnanam, your treatment is not yet over. As and when we have the time together, we have to meet once again and spend time together. So that was Shambhala Prabhu. He was not a doctor who just was interested in treating your disease at a superficial level. He would really want to go into that depth. And when he came to the Govardhan Eco Village as a doctor, all those qualities, whatever we were seeing all these years, actually, you know, we could once again see. And all the patients that he treated, one after another, including myself, I was just becoming a patient once again with him. We were experiencing how deeply he was connected to us. So that personal relationship which is required between a doctor and a patient was what he brought into the relationship. And I can tell you that in the last few months when I got to very closely interact with him during his short tenure in Govardhan Eco Village, I found him a person who was completely surrendered to his spiritual master. Although there were tremendous challenges that all of us face when we are starting a new venture, and he was right in the middle of it, taking all the decisions on how he should be setting up the center, how we should be staffing the Ayurveda facility, how we should be getting doctors, the recruitment, everything. He was personally involved. And that's the way he wanted it. Again, going to show that he didn't want any superficiality. So, I want others to speak, so I don't want to monopolize. But I would like to say that in the demise of Shambhala Prabhu, I have lost a very dear, dear friend. It's not going to be easy to remove him from our hearts. He's made a permanent impression in all of us, all those who are over here in this room. But understanding that whatever he did the last few months was entirely in the service of the spiritual master. Yasya prasadat bhagavat prasado, yasya prasadat nagati kutopi. So we have this wonderful prayer which says that anybody who has surrendered his life at the lotus feet of the spiritual master, following his instructions, following his desires, is certainly a candidate eligible to go home back to Godhead. And Shambhala Prabhu has done that. He has pleased his spiritual master. He has pleased all those who came in contact with. He has pleased all the Vaishnavas. And for sure, Krishna has taken him back to the spiritual world. So we'll really miss Shambhala Prabhu. Hare Krishna.
Shambhala Prabhu had a deep desire to share his Ayurveda knowledge. He wanted to treat as many patients as he could. So in Kerala, he had set up a clinic, and we have with us Mr. Matthew here. With the help of Mr. Matthew, both of them came together and set up a clinic. So I'll request him to speak a few words.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna Swamiji. My respect to Swamiji and respect to all devotees. I never spoke. Hello? Yeah. Okay, yes. Dr. Sanjay, his departure is really very hurt feeling, and I don't know how to express that. Deeply touched by him, and we had a great vision. He has a great vision for spreading Ayurveda, not just here, part of this part, also from all over the world. So I live in San Francisco in California. So we had a plan for setting up a project in Kerala in the beginning, then spreading the whole knowledge of Ayurveda to the whole India, then whole world. That heavy dream was with Dr. Sanjay. So all those plans were set, and suddenly his departure is really really shocking, and the whole group is in shock, but it's a divine decision. I feel that way. And the way he came to have this project there in Kerala was very much like, I feel like an angel came to us. So we've been planning for 10 years. Last 10 years we had land and we set up everything and waiting for someone should divinely assigned to, waiting, and 2 years ago, and I got an email from him saying that I am here and want to meet. So we met, discuss about the whole plan, and it's an amazing plan he has, and such a dedication for spreading the knowledge, and also dedication to humanity. Not just, you know, person he's meeting, he gives 100% attention to the person or to bring the healing to the devotees or people who meet. And also he has a very broad vision of the global vision. So that's what the attraction for me to have that attraction with the Dr. Sanjay was that. And many different dimension of things were there, and wanted to start a healing center, then also wanted to teach like a Gurukul. Also his plan was to have a Gurukul where want to spread and share all the knowledge to other people, other whoever interested. And he used to say that, Matthew, how many years we going to get in our life? Maybe 20 years, 10 or 15, 20 years. So in that 20 years, we have to do something for humanity. So that's something you don't see such people, many people like that in the world now. So that's something which we cannot replace. So that missing is always there. So that is the very, very deep sadness. At the same time, his vision give us a stimulation in us, to inspire us to go ahead whatever we plan. So whoever involved, we are still continuously to follow his path. And whatever inspiration he gave us, so we want to follow that. That's a vision wise. And personally, whoever he met, even knowing this in local people there, regardless of whoever he is, from labor to the high and low, whoever, you know. So they all expressing their experience, how Dr. Sanjay was with them, how personally connected, and they all feeling sad, and at the same time, they feel like they were honored to meet him. And local people also was such a connected to him. So this is what, you know, I want to say. And I don't know how to explain more. I cannot put the words into the separation is separated. Separation is still, we have to maintain the, you know, maintain that. At the same time, the plan is to go with whatever his dream was. And we want to try the best for his plan and continue to do that one. That is the way we are standing now. So I met him not that many years, only 2 years, and 2-3 years. And so really feel miss him, and that cannot be expressed. And it's a kind of a heart feeling. So that's...
Now I'll request Sanat Kumar Prabhu to share a few memories with Shambhala Prabhu. After that, I request Anasuya Mataji to be kindly ready.
Hare Krishna. So I first met Shambhala Prabhu when he was studying in Pune College. Pune Medical College. In fact, I had gone to Pune for service. And I reached the temple, and next day I became very sick. And I wasn't that sick any time before. Like, I could hardly do anything on my own. So I told the doctors in Pune that, you please admit me in the hospital. But the doctor said, no, you stay in temple and we'll give the same treatment here in the temple. In 96-97, Pune temple, Kujibihari temple didn't have much facilities. But Saraswati Mataji said, this, I have one student, Dr. Sanjay, and he will definitely take nice care of you. There's no need for admission, and he will do everything perfectly. And almost next 3 days, he just stayed with me in my room, administered all the IVs, medicines, and everything he did. So that's where I could clearly see his very caring nature. And whoever he connected made a deep impact on those people. After that, he joined Brahmacharya Ashram. But that time, I wasn't here much because I was doing service in Daun. So when he was in Brahmacharya Ashram, we didn't meet that often each other. But when he went into Grihastha Ashram, after that, like somehow other we were connected to each other when he first got the job as a medical officer in near Pune in Pirangut. So I remember he told me, like, I stayed this many years in the Brahmacharya Ashram, and I completely lost the touch with any medical things. So how do I begin? And then he just went to the bookstore, he got one or two books, read in a couple of days, and immediately started a practice over there. And I remember when he left that Pirangut PSC, practically whole village came to tell, like, no, please don't transfer this officer to anywhere else, because he was the first doctor who stayed in the village and gave so good care to all of us. And then he came to another PSC, which was close to our farm, and then he became connected with the devotees in that farm. So what I found him with is, like, he was such a brilliant person that whichever subject he would touch, immediately grabs the knowledge. Not only that, within short time he could become the expert in that field. And whatever tension or crisis he may be facing in the life, but still he will be always, like we see him, smiling, and you will never feel that he is undergoing such a tensions in the life. And after that, then he went to Vrindavan. Somehow or other, we always kept connected with each other. And as Krishna Prabhu mentioned, like, we would spend hours together. There are some people, like, you can go on talking and talking for hours together and can reveal your heart, that other person also reciprocates accordingly. And slowly, somehow or other, he focused more on Ayurveda. And as we kept on discussing, I could clearly see within a short time he achieved great mastery over the subject. And then he showed me the books that he was writing about Ayurveda and from whom all he studied. Then we used to discuss, like, because I look after the farming, so he had a great desire that we will grow the medicinal herbs in this area. Not only will grow, but will teach the villagers also the medicinal use of different herbs, and by that they will be able to take care of themselves by the different home remedies, and they don't have to come and visit any hospitals anymore. And then, like, as we used to discuss, I don't know how many hours he slept, because every time we go and see, wherever he would be, you will not find much furniture. He will just find the heaps and heaps of books, and he will be just studying different books. And we would discuss about many Ayurveda texts as well. I had a little information here and there, and I was more interested in Ruksha Ayurveda because that helps into our farming. So we discuss a lot about how we can take forward this branch of Ayurveda in future. And then he used to explain, like, he had a great desire where he will, we will set up authentic Ayurveda Gurukul, where we will train the students from early childhood in understanding the use of different Ayurvedic herbs, and right from the beginning they will be brought up in a good character, so we can re-establish the old tradition which ancient India had, where the Vaidyas were not only expert in the medicines, but they were highly qualified people and people of a great character and integrity. And I could see, like, whatever, especially he was very much focused on giving a nice treatment to his spiritual master. And for that, he was so much immersed. I think even in his sleep also, he would continuously just meditate on that how I can do this service nicely. First, I always amazed, like, no, sleeping just few hours for years together, how can somebody survive and like maintain this kind of mental peace? But somehow or other he did. As like, once he wanted to get certain things which was very much required at our Ayurvedic setup over there. That day is supposed to be like a holiday where all shops are closed. So then the person with him is said, like, now how you will get anything, because today it's supposed to be all the shops are closed. But then somehow or other he phoned up some of his friends, and then he convinced, he was able to locate where that particular thing is available. And that was somewhere far away from where they were staying. They were at somewhere in Godbandar area, and somewhere inside the Thane that shop was there. And some other he spoke to that shopkeeper, told him, like, we are coming, we need this instrument very urgently for a very important person's treatment. And he kept convinced that shopkeeper to be in the shop 12:30 in the night. And somehow or other he got that thing from there. And when our Mangalarti time was there, he was back with that instrument, all those things. So what I saw is, like, whatever he wanted to do, he did A class, never compromised anything. And because of his strong desire, somehow or other he was able to achieve that as well. There are plenty of stories of that are there where my other God brothers will share. And it was like none of us expected, like, no? Because just day before we had our meetings, and in that meetings we had a very elaborate, great planning that how we can make this is one of the very authentic place of Ayurveda where people will be able to get the proper treatment. And as he was such a loving and caring, whichever patient he used to get, he used to give his 100% best. I never cared whether it's a daytime or middle of the night. If a patient requires, he was always there without caring for his any personal conveniences. So there are plenty we can learn from his life. But I would say the loss that we are now suffering, it cannot be replaced by anyone, because it's a one personality having so many facets. It's an intelligent, brilliant, hardworking, at the same time never took any credit for himself. So thank you, Shyamala Prabhu, for setting such a great high standard for a disciple to perform. Hare Krishna.
I'll request Anusuya Mataji to speak. After Anusuya Mataji, I'll request Madhavanand Prabhu to be kindly ready.
My meeting with His Grace Shyama Vallabh Prabhu was pure providence. We had been invited by Yadubar Prabhu for the premiere of Hare Krishna movie at PVR Juhu. And before the movie began, my husband was sitting and I was sitting. And Prabhuji just walked in and sat right next to me. I had no inkling about who this person was. And immediately he got into conversation with my husband, and I was in the center. And you know, when they started talking, I came to know that he was the person who was in charge of the Ayurved Shala at Vada. Now, somehow I was facing a very troublesome period at that time. I was undergoing an illness. Just a month back, I had viral fever, which was not diagnosed at that time. Very crippling. Later on, I came to know it was chikungunya. And the time when I met him, actually, the illness was peaking. It was at its peak. Very, very crippling. I don't want to get into the details of the illness at all. And throughout the entire movie, I was just massaging my arms, and probably he noticed that. During the interval, I just, you know, spoke to him for a minute, and I said that, you know, I am having some problems and I would like to take some advice and maybe even treatment if necessary. So, and he heard me for a minute, and then he said, Mataji, I know what this is. I can treat you in 3 days. He was so confident. So I said, really? So he said, yes, I will just give you one medicine. You take that syrup, I will message it to you, and you tell me how fast you will get all right. So I said, okay. After the movie was over, we exchanged numbers. I took down his number. While I was jotting down his number, I started writing his name. And he was looking at my phone, and he said, no, Mataji, my name is not Shyam Vallabh. It is Shyama Vallabh. Maharaj has given me the name Shyama Vallabh and not Shyam Vallabh. So, I mean, he was so particular about, you know, his name, and he was observing also what I was doing. So I said, thank you, Prabhuji. Very promptly, the next day, I got a message, morning, of the medicine that was to be taken. I immediately called him up, and I said, Prabhuji, this is, how do I have to take the liquid? So he said, you know, Mataji, I've given you this syrup, but actually, very frankly, I want to check your pulse. And only then I would like you to start the medicine. So I said, okay. And then he said, I'm at Kandivali and I have to go to town, to the temple to meet Govind Prabhu. So then I said, okay, if it is not very disturbing to your schedule, can I just book you a taxi and you can just drop in at my place for just that 10 minutes? So he said, of course, why not? And he came home, he checked my pulse, he wrote down two medicines, one pill, one tablet and one syrup. And he told me, he just wrote down the prescription and he proceeded. Immediately I went and I got, in 3 doses, I had 50% relief. Immediately after those three, after that, I called him up and I said, Prabhuji, I cannot tell you how grateful I am. My pain in my arms has vanished. 50% relief. So he said, isn't that great? I said, yes, Prabhuji, it is. It's amazing. You have really done me such a big favor. He's saying, Mataji, please send me a testimonial. So I said, okay, send me your email address and I will write the testimonial. So, and immediately I wrote down a testimonial. I sent him a mail. Then he said, Mataji, you know what? He kept communicating in WhatsApp. How is it improving any further? So I said, no further. It stopped. So he said, why don't you come over to Vada? Only 3 days. I've told you, give me only 3 days. And I'll cure you fully. So then I discussed it at home. And I said, you know, if it is only 3 days, I need to remove that time for myself to get well. So I went to Vada the next week. 3 days I was there. Those 3 days have been probably the most painful period of my illness. Probably after I landed into Vada, also at GEV, I was absolutely unable to walk. Absolutely unable to walk. Literally like walking like a penguin. Walking up to the Ayurved Shala was very, very painful. And I was in tears. So he said, don't worry, Mataji, it'll be all right. My husband, he said, you'll be able to stay here alone. I said, yeah, don't worry. You go ahead. You carry on with your work. I'll manage 3 days. It's just me and my treatment and my doctor. So I have to have faith in him. So I went. After the first massage, it became worse. There was a big swelling. Next day, he stopped. He changed the line of treatment. On the second day, he had to give me some herbal paste in my feet to get it better. And in the evening, before, while all the staff was leaving, so I requested Sri Vallabh Prabhu. I said, Prabhuji, abhi kar do. What is the point in coming in the night, disturbing yourself? All your staff will go away. So Sri Vallabh Prabhu made the paste and tied up the bandage in my foot. He was quite upset. He said, why are you taking shortcuts? This is not done. So he got the whole thing removed. He said, Mataji, you go. We will come to your room. I said, Prabhuji, but why you have to take this trouble? No, no, no. This is my duty. This is my work. I will come. So I said, it's already 7 o'clock and it doesn't matter 1 year here or there. But he just insisted that no, Mataji, I will come personally. And I knew he had had a very difficult night a day before because Yadubar Prabhu's daughter was not well in the middle of the night and he had to rush to her room to, you know, take a look after her. So as, you know, Prabhuji's have been saying that he was so personally involved in each and every treatment to the detail. At night, at 8:30, 8:45, he came. Sri Vallabh Prabhu came. Both of them, they personally, you know, put the paste and they literally tucked me into bed. Very literally, because after the bandage was done, I could not move. Both my feet were bandaged. Third day morning, that was the last day which I was going to be there. And I was a little sullen because the treatment was not effective. So I had sort of started resigning myself to the fate that probably, you know, I'll have to live with this pain. And I walked into his office at the Ayurved Shala and he looked at me and he's saying, don't worry, Mataji. So I said, Prabhuji, but pain nahi ja raha hai. Bahut pain hai. Bilkul chala hi nahi ja raha hai. Without help, not able to walk. So, and while I was talking, he, you know, I gave him a hint. I said, you know, when I press these places, the pain in my legs just vanishes totally. So he said, Mataji, wait, I want to do some acupuncture for you. So are you okay? So I said, yes, I'm okay for anything that relieves me. So he said, you know what, Mataji, this is why I keep telling that doctors are supposed to be such good listeners. You have to listen to the patient. See how I heard you and you gave me a hint. So again, you know, the observation, all the time listening. So he gave me again those 4 acupuncture needles and he knows it. The pain with those 15 minutes of acupuncture treatment, 80% of the pain in my feet were gone. That third day, the 3 days I was only walking from my room to the Ayurved Shala, back to the room, maybe little prasad, go back to Ayurved Shala, come back. Third day, after that acupuncture, I did Govardhan Parikrama. I went around GV visiting some temples. I walked up to the temple and I was surprised that I was able to walk up the stairs. So then he said, Mataji, now you have to take only acupuncture. You keep following this up. In those 3 days, immediately, you know, I saw, we had lots of conversations otherwise also. So as Sanatan Prabhu mentioned, Sanat Kumar Prabhu mentioned that he was so deeply involved in each and every detail of his upcoming Ayurved Shala. He wanted it his way. He had designs ready on his laptop. He had files and files and files. He was sleeping in the office. He had this mattress. Whenever he would get, you know, time, maybe 10 minutes break, he would just take his power nap and he would be up and about just treating people. He was so deeply involved in the treatment throughout the day. While coming back, again, so on the third day while I was returning back, again, I had the fortune that he was traveling with me, with another brahmachari. They were going to procure that particular instrument that he spoke about. And again, he was constantly on phone trying to speak to the person that, no, you can't go for the wedding. He had to go for some wedding at 5 o'clock. He's saying, aap nahi ja sakte. He kept manipulating some excuses. Full time, he was chanting 108 names of Dhanvantri. So he said, I do this every day, Mataji, and I have lots of disciples all across the world, and this New Year's I'm going to gift them an audio of this chanting of the 108 names of Dhanvantri. So I was really impressed. One, you know, sometimes we can speak very silly, and I just told him, I said, Prabhuji, I have one maybe silly question, but it comes to my mind very often. I said, when Krishna created everybody, so, and you know, nowadays when people, engineers create mobiles and a lot of gadgets, as soon as a new mobile is out, the new service center and the engineers are all ready in the market to, you know, rectify any problems that you have with that gadget. Why didn't Krishna do it? He made the human body. He could have created a line of, a lineage of Dhanvantris so that everything became so easy. So he started laughing. He said, Mataji, unhone kiya tha. He made, there was a lineage of Dhanvantris, but everything is all corrupted now. But I'm here to revive it, don't worry. So that is what struck me, that, you know, he said, and of course he kept talking a lot about his Kerala center and about his Vrindavan center. And then the last thing he said, Mataji, you still have to give me the testimonial for the post-treatment. So I said, yes, Prabhuji, I'll send you the post-treatment testimonial. And here I am, Shama Vallabh Prabhu, I'm giving you a live post-treatment testimonial. He always wanted to be in the service of all the devotees, of all. He also kept talking about treating Maharaj, of course, with his blessings. And probably Krishna had bigger plans, and now he's in the service of Krishna. Hari Bol.
Thank you, Mataji. I request Madhavanand Prabhu to come. After Madhavanand Prabhu, I'll request Vrishabhanu Prabhu to be kindly ready.
Hare Krishna. I have faced many devastating events in my life. But the news of Shama Vallabh Prabhu's sudden demise was, I would say, the most shocking to me. And I'm sure many of you also feel like that. And I'm still analyzing why it was most shocking to me. Probably because the way intense personality he was, the way he created a vision, he sold his dream to all of us. And suddenly it was all shattered in a moment. At 2:30 a.m. that night, Sanat Kumar Prabhu called me, and he did not even, he just straight away told me that he is no more. So like, you are out of the sleep, and this is the news. Of course, I reached the hospital. But it was shocking for many days. Even till today it is there. You can see the smile on his face. Wonderful smile. He had that personality. My interactions with Shama Vallabh Prabhu were more of an authority and a person who is working for you. That kind of, we were also God brothers. We had very good relationship from that angle. He would come and tell me about his preaching in Pune. But our interactions became more involving when he joined Bhaktivedanta Hospital for the hospice and palliative care department. And again, within a very short time, he actually mastered the subject. And when he started training and calling all the patients, relatives, people would literally cry taking his name. That was the effect he had in a very short time, just maybe 6 months. And then we had to send him to US San Diego for more training. Again, there he excelled. Amongst all the students, he was excelling always. So he had that ability to excel in every subject which he took up. But he was not a very good manager. He literally, we had to tell him so many times, you do this. He would say, yeah, I am doing. But what he was actually doing was all the time reading. All the time reading. He would send me bills for so many books. He would order lakhs of rupees of books sometimes. That was the way he was. And he became an expert in that. Then one day he came and told me that I want to have a child. So again, what is the first step he did? He said, I have planned, and he had actually finished by that time. He did a full Dandavati Parakrama of the whole Vrindavan. I could understand, he's a very intense personality. Whatever he wants to do to the perfection. And then he had to leave the Vrindavan hospice, and we had some other doctor, Avnish, coming in there. But I couldn't meet him when he left. So I had always a feeling that maybe he is not very happy with this. Someday I need to meet him. And then I met him just 4 days before he left. And he came to the hospital, and as usual, again, very big smile and very happy to meet. And he told me his whole plan about how to treat Maharaj. So he had a big plan. And he told me, don't worry, I have already consulted many other people. All doctors agree with me, and I'm going to do it. Only thing is, Maharaj should allow me. That's my only worry. This he said down. Then again I met him outside Maharaj's room. And that time we had a long embrace. And I understood, okay, there is no misunderstanding. He was happy, I was happy. But that was a long embrace, last embrace. And after that, suddenly, shattering all the dreams of treating Maharaj, having wonderful, I was so happy with his plan. That first time I could see that there is something, so much potential in this Ayurveda and GV and amazing plans he was telling. And suddenly, in a moment, it was null and void. It's gone. So that's why I thought probably this is the reason why it is so intensely felt the way he has left. And it's not only me, many of my other doctor godbrothers, they told me the same thing, my family members, that somehow he affected us in his going also. Even after a few days when Giriraj Prabhu went to GEV, even the staff, all the staff were very much affected, and he had to spend a lot of time just to make them speak. So this is the kind of intense personality who had an eye for quality. And I pray to Srila Prabhupada, all the Vaishnavas, Radha Gopinath, that his soul, wherever he is, he gets a better service. And his family members, they get strength to swallow this kind of grief. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Madhavanand Prabhu. I'll request Vrishabhanu Prabhu. After Vrishabhanu Prabhu, I'll request Keshav Prabhu to be kindly ready.
Shyam Vallabh Prabhu was a brilliant person, expert in so many areas, multifaceted personality. The way I came in touch with him is rather unusual, away from the medical field. Some years ago, nearly 19-20 years ago, I was trying to assist His Holiness Bhakti Rasamrut Maharaj by preparing some booklets on Bhagavad Gita. And after some discussions, we came out with a couple of booklets which contained some essence of Bhagavad Gita in many ways. And it was thought that there should be some cartoons in these booklets. So the name suggested was Shyama Vallabha Prabhu. So I met him for the first time, this was nearly 20 years ago. Such a wonderful, cheerful person, So when I met him and told him that this is what you plan to give, there will be a number of booklets, I'll keep coming and discussing with you and you have to draw. And he was so enthusiastic about it, more enthusiastic than me. So we discussed with him and then, you know, he started drawing cartoons, very beautiful cartoons in quite a few booklets were prepared. So I was really amazed at his approach to the problem. He would discuss things, he would go to the depth of the subject and then, you know, draw his cartoons. There's something wonderful, away from the medical field. So he had brilliance in several other things. I believe he also played guitar very nicely. I don't know, I have not heard him play, but I heard. So a very brilliant personality. So he is leaving us, is a real loss to our community. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Rishabhanu Prabhu. I request Keshav Prabhu to be ready to speak. And after Keshav Prabhu, I request Namamrit Mataji to be kindly ready.
Hare Krishna. Our business is to you, Maharaj. So I came in touch with Shyamavallabh Prabhu in May of 2017, after the passing away of my father. Namamrita and myself have been trying to get a little bit more involved in the activities at Govardhan Eco Village under the guidance of Maharaj and Gaurang Prabhu. And so we wanted to revamp the Ayurveda setup there. So we had Birla Ayurveda there. They were doing a lot of, you know, just light treatments and things like that. It wasn't the way fitting into Maharaj's vision here. So that's how he was very strongly recommending Shyamavallabh Prabhu to, you know, be the lead doctor there. So that's how I got in touch, because he came here and he made a presentation and we were to sit and evaluate different options that were there. And whereas everybody was talking about wellness treatments, beauty treatment, things like that, his presentation was completely that of a purist, where he was trying to solve, you know, lifelong diseases, diseases which were life-threatening to patients. And so, you know, there's a lot of interactions back and forth. It was quite intense, you know, to figure out. He was clearly an eccentric genius. It was very clear that, as you've heard, you know, his ability to connect with patients was amazing. He was also very, very, very great learner. He used to get so deeply into the subject. And me, coming from a professional, you know, sort of business background, I obviously did a full interrogation of his resume and everything. And I said, "Arey, you want to solve life-threatening diseases, you've got hardly 6 years of experience in Ayurveda." Because before that, he was MBBS doctor, then brahmachari, oncologist. And then in 2010, he started, you know, studying Ayurveda. And this discussion we had was in early 2017. But, you know, as my interactions with him increased, I was very skeptical that, you know, such a short time, how can you start, I'll solve this problem, that problem. You know, it didn't make any sense. And, you know, being a business guy, you always want to look at the downside of things. But then the real proof of the pudding came in the patients. You just heard Anshuya Mataji here. But her problem was actually a pretty small problem compared to some of the others who he treated, who were suffering from things for 17 years, 18 years, 13 years, and finding relief in 3 or 4 days. And so when all that happened, because before that, believe me, he drove everybody up the wall. I mean, he was the most difficult guy to deal with on non-medical matters. Extremely uncoordinated, extremely poor in terms of organization, documentation. He'll be here, he'll be there, he'll be everywhere. But moment it came to the medical subject, bullseye. And, you know, with all that, because I had seen the other side of him, which was a non-medical side. But then as you were interacting with the patients, and some of the patients I happen to know, who, you know, came with these 17 and 15 year problems, where they had gone bhatkofying all over the world and they couldn't get anyone to you know, solve the problem. He was making instant effect in a matter of a few days. And that's when finally, you know, I had this discussion with Gaurang Prabhu saying, hey, Prabhuji, this fellow has got something in him. So now we have to figure out how to, you know, work everything out around it. Of course, his greatest attribute and his greatest passion was to somehow cure Maharaj of, you know, various illnesses that Maharaj has had, very deep rooted. He actually sat and explained to us, you know, some of the root causes of how, you know, some of these things have happened over the years. He convinced me that I should have oil massages at least once a week. And one of the reasons why Maharaj is having all these pains is he doesn't have oil massages. So hopefully Maharaj will have oil massages more regularly. He says the bones get dry and, you know. But there were such grand plans, and in fact, a lot of people have spoken a lot of things, but I want to mention this very specifically that, you know, on the day he passed away, that fateful day, actually we had the opening of the central kitchen at Govardhan. So, Namamrita and me and my mother, we had all, you know, gone there for that. And then we had a meeting with Maharaj, you know, which lasted pretty much about 4 or 5 hours actually. And then we sat down with Shyam Vallabh Prabhu for over 3 hours to sit down and nail everything. Because, you know, different people were on different pages. The Ayurveda center was basically ready. And in spite of 11 design changes and whatever else that happened, it was going to be ready a week later. And so, you know, there were various things about, you know, website, commercial offerings, pricing, vision of, and in fact, one of the things that we have, it's now, you know, unfortunately a prize recording which is there, is on Namamrita's iPhone, she has recorded his impromptu vision for Govardhan Ayurveda. Because, you know, we told him that, listen, why don't you, you know, this is an easy way of getting testimonials, you know, when doctors, you know, when the patients finish, all you need to go do is take an iPhone and stick it there and you get an HD quality film. So he said, really? So he said, yeah, why don't you give the vision of Govardhan Ayurveda and we'll record it and show it to you. So that's exactly what happened. So it's just captured over there. So in those 3 hours, we spent and sorted all this out. Namamrita will come up next. She'll talk to you. She spent the whole afternoon with him. So, you know, at the end of the day, we ended up, we wanted to leave at 4 o'clock because we reached there at 7 in the morning. By the time we left, it was past 7:30. And we just come back from London the previous night. So exhausted, went to sleep. And then Krishnaram Prabhu, you know, he must have dialed 2-3 times, you know, it was totally like Kumbhakaran and absolutely knocked out. And suddenly saw the phone ringing, called him up. And then just got this devastating news which, you know, just couldn't believe that he'd spent so much time the previous day, just sorted everything out. All of us were on the same page, the, you know, everything was, the center was just about ready. So, you know, Krishna's plans are amazing. We brought it up to Maharaj saying, Maharaj, what is this? This Krishna is, you know, what is he doing actually over here? After all this, you know, he's given us all these hopes. We've ironed out all these problems. And then Maharaj said that, please understand that Krishna's plans are perfect and don't try to speculate and understand his plans. That's what Maharaj said. You just have to accept them as they are. So unfortunately, you know, we have this reality to deal with. And we have to move forward. But one thing is clear that, you know, in the little interaction that I had with Shyam Vallabh Prabhu, his he really had some gift in terms of being able to diagnose and connect. And just one more thing I want to mention to you is that in the month of December, to celebrate Namamrita's birthday, we had taken a bunch of our close friends to Govardhan Eco Village, and most of them hadn't visited there. We told them so many times that, you know, come, come. But you know how life in Mumbai is. People are busy, this, that, something or the other keeps coming up. But because it was her birthday, people said, ha, 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 we have to come. So we went and spent the weekend there at Govardhan Eco Village. And one of the things which we requested was, because, you know, rather than just people doing their own thing, the whole thing was planned, you know, from the time they landed, etc., etc. And so one of the things we requested was for Shyama Vallabh Prabhu to actually give a talk on Ayurveda for about an hour. And then have, you know, maybe about 15-20 minutes for question answers, you know, on the basics of Ayurveda, how you can take those principles and apply it in your day-to-day life, you know, what things can it solve, etc., etc. And so he actually spoke for about 45 minutes, and believe me, the clarity with which he delivered that 45-minute talk was just unbelievable. I mean, I was sitting there taking notes, his little iPhone has got 3 pages of notes that were taken in those 45 minutes. It was absolutely crystal clear in terms of what the basics of Ayurveda are. What Vata, you know, the Vata and the Pitta and, you know, all those pravrittis and all these things we've all heard of, but not necessarily do you understand exactly, you know, what the interrelationships and issues are, you know, between these things. In those 45 minutes, absolutely the basics, you know, 101 of Ayurveda was delivered in those 45 minutes. And in fact, everyone, we were like 20 plus people in there. There was another 45-minute, 1 hour question answer. That lunch was organized to be at like 1 o'clock. I think by the time we went there, it was way past 2. There were so many questions and discussions. And many people then decided, yes, we want to come in and, you know, show our nadi and, you know, get treatment here. And I was telling these guys, why you're coming now? Let the center get set up, then you can, you know. And alas, unfortunately, you know, that he is not going to come. But I pray for, you know, he's obviously a very special personality. And the desire, deep desire that he had of treating our Guru Maharaj and sorting out all his problems. Maharaj is a pretty difficult patient. And I've seen little glimpses of that over the years. But Shama Vallabh Prabhu had one way of being able to, you know, get his way around with Maharaj. I think he made Maharaj do more than what all the other vaids in the world have managed to do in that short period of time. So he had these grand plans. In fact, he was explaining that evening only to Navamrita and me, that all these things we are going to do. Including he wanted some special hut to be built somewhere. And, you know, he had a lot of ideas. I think every night he was just dreaming about being able to fix Guru Maharaj's health. And so I'm sure that he'll be sitting up there and inspiring others to, you know, his guru is here, and so he is also now helping, you know, set up some treatments for Maharaj. But I just pray that his soul rests in peace, and he continues to inspire Govardhan Ayurveda and his dream of curative Ayurvedic treatment. You know, we are able to bring it to some level of success. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Kesha Prabhu. I'll request Navamrit Mataji to kindly speak. After her, I'll request Subhadra Priya Mataji to be kindly ready.
Hare Krishna, you have just heard my husband Kesha Prabhu speak on the last day that we spent with His Grace Dr. Shyam Vallabh Prabhu. And I think I had the great fortune of being the person who spent the most time with him on that last fateful day of his. And I can also say this, that the next morning, after we heard the shattering news, I have not seen Keshav Prabhu, that despondent, that shattered, that completely unable to do anything with himself, as I have seen on that day. With Dr. Shyam Vallabh Prabhu's passing away, all our dreams, all our hopes of Govardhan Eco Village Ayurveda and of Guru Maharaj's getting better in the very near future seemed completely shattered. Having said this, I want to tell you my first and last piece of conversation with His Grace Shyam Vallabh Prabhu. It was a few months ago that I started speaking to him on our trips to Govardhan Eco Village, and I felt my job was to make him feel comfortable, to make him feel wanted, to make him feel, to bridge the gap that he was perhaps feeling in his heart between what he wanted in Govardhan and what management felt that we needed. So I was trying to play a bridging role, a motherly role, and that is how my dialogue started with him. And the first thing that he ever wrote to me was that, Mataji, your talking to me and coming forward is a sign that Lord Dhanvantri really wants me to stay here in Eco Village. And your being involved with this project is really important for me. So that is how we started our journey with Govardhan Ayurveda. And over the months, I could see how intensely he wanted to cure Guru Maharaj of all his ailments, as well as any other devotee who really, really had a long-standing medical problem. And I could see that every day that he was treating His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj, he was actually maintaining a diary. I don't know where, but surely somewhere he was taking down notes on his treatment of Maharaj and how Maharaj responded. And I had the good fortune of being able to read some of these memoirs that he has written. And I just want to share with you just a few things so that you get an idea of the mood with which he was approaching his work and his intense desire to cure Maharaj. It reads that, since last many days, Gurudev has been telling me that he is feeling congested. I have tried some simple medicines first, and then there was no change. Then a little stronger one, still no change. Then we decided to do a strong Nyasa treatment with Tulsi juice. Then he treated Guru Maharaj, and at the end of it he says, Maharaj said, I have been having this sinus problem for the last 35 years. So I replied, I as in Dr. Shyamvala Prabhu said, now Tulsi Maharani will cure you, Maharaj. And then, in the true mood of a Vaishnav, he replied, Tulsi Maharani is not my servant. I am a servant of Tulsi Maharani. I understood that, as a pure devotee of the Lord, Maharaj never likes to take any service from anyone. He only wants to offer service. This is the true mood of a Vaishnava. So actually he was writing all these memoirs, and I feel extremely fortunate that he has shared some pages of this with me, and I'm sharing them with you so that you understand his true mood. And about the last video that we, the little video clip that we took that Keshav Prabhu just spoke about, actually Keshav Prabhu only wanted to demonstrate to him how easy it is to just take a short testimonial of anyone on an iPhone. We did not even expect him to say anything which was of any great substance, or it was just a trial. Truly. And in the background, some other devotee behind was speaking on the phone. There were other people talking in that boardroom. So there was a lot of disturbance, I must say. And Keshav Prabhu just took my iPhone and he said, Shyamvala Prabhu, just say something. I want to show you what a good, high-quality recording you can do on an iPhone. So in the midst of all that chaos, Shyamvala Prabhu could have even said the words Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Or he could have said 1, 2, 3 test. But instead, in that confusion, in that chaos, he said his last words, which I have here. I'd have loved to play it for you, but there's no facility. But I shall tell you what he said. He just said 2 sentences. And he said, Govardhan Ayurveda is a very true, authentic type of Ayurvedic practice done in Govardhan village, which is situated in the beautiful foothills of the Sahyadri mountains. And here we are going to treat and cure patients with chronic illnesses which they have been suffering for years and years and years. That is all that he said. And we realized then that that was his vision. In two sentences, he said his complete vision. He spoke his heart for what he intended Govardhan Ayurveda Center to be. Thank you. I pray that he blesses us, that Govardhan Ayurveda will still go forward. We still need your blessings and your grace, Prabhu. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Namamrit Mataji. Now I request Subhadra Priya Mataji to come. She is the wife of Shyamavalla Prabhu. After that, I'll request Gaurang Prabhu to be ready.
Hare Krishna. Please excuse me because I'm not a spontaneous speaker. That's why I had to script down so that I don't forget certain memories. Firstly, I would like to offer my deepest gratitude to all of you wonderful devotees from the Radha Gopinath congregation who have given immense love and support to us, Shyamavalla Prabhu's family members, during the most difficult and testing time of our lives. So I would like to present my offering now to Shyamavalla Prabhu. Dearest Shyamavalla Prabhu, please accept my most humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. All glories to our Guru Maharaj and the Vaishnavas. Your sudden and unexpected departure has brought my world to a standstill and a deep void has been created in my life. But it seems to me that remembering the wonderful memories and qualities of yours alone can keep me going. You have been one of the most gentle, humble, tolerant, loving, hardworking person I have ever met. You were a person who had no trace of malice, no desire for competing with others, and who only believed in giving and never bothered to receive. I remember you telling me that you only wanted to heal and that I should be the one dealing with money, as you had difficulty in asking money for the services offered to your patients. Every time you met a person with a warm smile and loving energy, you changed their lives. Similarly, you have made a lasting impact on my life, not only spiritually but also professionally. Dearest Shyamavalla Prabhu, when I asked you why you needed to study day and night, you replied, "The only reason I am studying Ayurveda is so that I can please and serve Guru and Krishna." Your life's goal was to help Guru Maharaj with his health issues. You told me how difficult it was to travel and learn from different Vaidyas, requesting them to help learn Ayurveda. But you told me that it brought great joy to your heart when you helped devotees with their health issues. Your passion and love for Ayurveda was such that you wouldn't take anything less than traditional Ayurveda. You didn't believe in lowering your standards just to generate some income. And what to speak about your knowledge of Krishna conscious scriptures? Even though you were so well versed, you never made people around you feel uncomfortable. You always convinced them with your patience, warmth, and easy to understand explanation so that they could become Krishna conscious. Dear Shyamavala Prabhu, it astonishes me to see the way you have touched people's lives world over with your loving service. It only makes my heart swell with happiness and pride. I pray for your blessings so that someday I can have a similar service attitude for Guru Maharaj, Vaishnavas, and Sri Sri Radha Gopinath. I pray for your blessings so that myself and Naukishori get the strength and courage to follow in your footsteps. Shyamavala Prabhu, thank you so much for spending some time with us in this lifetime and for changing our lives by your wonderful example. Your servant, Subhadra Priya. Thank you.
Thank you, Mataji. I will request Gaurang Prabhu to speak. After Gaurang Prabhu, Dr. Shashi Kumar will speak. He is the Ayurveda Guru of Shyamavala Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. So as many devotees have expressed their deep appreciation for the medical Ayurveda prowess of Shyamavala Prabhu, so I had connected with him first in the early 90s when he was a student at BJ Medical College. And from that point onwards, we were very close, especially when he was in the ashram. He was very deep into the scriptures, and I would be astounded to see his ability to really grasp spiritual knowledge. I always used to think that, you know, amongst ISKCON devotees, if I have seen some really powerful Kshatriya, so that was Shyam Krishna Prabhu who departed. And amongst ISKCON devotees, if I have seen a really powerful Brahmana, that was Shyamavala Prabhu. So he had the ability to just grasp knowledge of any sort and spend time with, you know, tons and tons of information, literatures, books, and then get the distilled essence. So of course, after he left from the ashram, I did not have much touch with him. Like Sanat Kumar Prabhu was still keeping very close touch with him in all those years. Then it so happened that he started getting into Ayurveda, and even during that part I was not much aware. But Govind Prabhu would tell me that he is getting into Ayurveda. And then a couple of years ago when we were in Udupi for Pejavaramat Maharaj's Paryay, that time he came and showed me the book which he has published. And I was quite amazed, because I thought within 4 or 5 years of just connecting with Ayurveda, how could you publish a book like that? So he was extraordinary in his talent. And then, you know, at Govardhan Eco Village in 2011, when we began the whole retreat center, so we had very less time because we did the construction so fast. So, you know, I had reached out to a few Ayurveda people around, and Birla Kerala Ayurveda had reached out, and they really helped set up all those things for several years. But we really did not have like anything of the authentic, deep, curative kind of Ayurveda practice. And so from last couple of years, Maharaj has been expressing desire that we should get something like that. And from this year, especially after March, that means last year, 2017, Keshav Prabhu became really more deeply involved, and we did lots of changes in the way we operated the eco-village and started getting more professional people on board. And then we were just beginning to focus on the yoga aspect to make the Govardhan School of Yoga really functional and connect with the bhakti elements and how it can be a powerful preaching tool also. So we were just putting our elements in place, increasing the number of rooms, and we were not in any situation to actually focus or even look in the direction of Ayurveda. And His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj requested us to, you know, have a look at what Shyamala Prabhu has to offer. So last March we had invited him, and that is when he made his first presentation to the board. And of course other Ayurveda vendors were also there. And then in that meeting, we just told him that we have great faith in your abilities, but because you have a project going on at Wayanad, you have something happening in Vrindavan, we do not know how you will be able to do justice to another place here at Eco Village, so we don't think it will work. So, you know, in April, we went ahead with someone else to just continue the previous type of massage kind of Ayurveda and other things. Then, when I went to New York in summer, Maharaj was asking me what happened to Shyamala. And then I told him that this is what our response was, and because it was part-time. Then Maharaj was really insistent that we should again look at the merit of this, because you will not get such authentic doctors in the devotee community. So anyway, I told Maharaj, since you are coming in August, we'll look at this option again. And because I had dealt with him before in the ashram, so I was not confident of his ability to really, deal managerially and things like that. But I thought when Maharaj comes, then probably we can take that call. So in August when Maharaj came, so that is when, you know, some of us were presenting to Maharaj that maybe we can look at the, you know, curative, authentic Ayurveda introduction at Eco Village, maybe the next year, that means this year, sometime later. Why do we have to go ahead now? So at that point, you know, Maharaj wrote a mail, which is, in my experience of last 25 years, one of the longest mails he has ever written, you know. And I just wanted to express how he mentioned about Shyamala Prabhu in that one mail, but all the points were captured, and also what is his desire with respect to the Ayurveda facility at the Eco Village. So Maharaj begins the mail in response to our various points on how this is not the time to, you know, think about Ayurveda and things like that. So Maharaj begins by saying, "I disagree." Dot, 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 dot. Then he says, "We have a facility for a wellness center. It is a small but great facility, but is going nowhere. Our wellness center will be every bit as important as the yoga school, but we need a doctor who has a reputation, actually cures people, and harmonizes with our teachings and culture." Reputation, cures people, harmonizes with our teachings and culture. Shyama Vallabh has all of these qualifications. Everywhere in the world that I go, many people praise him after being his patient in his clinic in Vrindavan. They all say that he is the real thing. Potentially, he could be the best person we ever find. We have a chance of starting something that will be wonderful. Let us have a positive attitude and discuss with him. A tree grows from a seed. We need a seed, an acclaimed and attractive doctor. From the seed, we could grow. We start with what we have, the clinic, our classrooms for teachings, and our guest rooms and future tent rooms. We should not compare ourselves with these huge Ayurveda clinics. They started small too and have a very different purpose. I feel that the time is right to develop a vision and begin. Let us, with a positive approach at this time, explore if we can do this with Shyamavalla. With my prayers and gratitude, Radhanath Swami. So Maharaj really could see that here is a person who could perform a great amount of seva especially for the ISKCON community worldwide, because you know ISKCON has a congregation which is aging, and devotees across the world have various ailments, especially amongst Srila Prabhupada's disciples and also amongst congregations. And many devotees are really confused, where do we go to get real authentic treatment for especially diseases which allopathy doesn't have any cure for. And when Shyamala Prabhu was actually brought on board, and when I started, you know, the first day he came for giving an interview, a very high level person from Delhi, who is, you know, very close to the Prime Minister, he was here. And it was a very secret visit for just 4 or 5 days, and we had kept it completely confidential. And so I thought, let me try, you know, how is his response to Shyamala Prabhu's treatment, because Maharaj seems to have a lot of faith and everyone is praising him, but I know him as an allopathic doctor before. Let me check it myself. And so I just referred Shyamala Prabhu and told him, some old classmate of mine has come, just check him out. So he went, and within, you know, 24 hours, that high-profile person had opened himself up completely, shared his real identity, name, number, and next week he was at his house in Delhi. And then I was really shocked. And then like that, I introduced one or two of my other very high-profile people I know. And then, you know, they were so impressed that one of them, I just told them that he has departed. And he's so shocked, he said, I don't even want to hear how he departed, because I just can't get over the shock. So, in the last 4 or 5 years, you know, he definitely got some kind of shakti, which we have not seen him like in that kind of a power which we saw in the last few years. And definitely we had great hopes, and especially Krishnam Prabhu was putting a lot of energy, a lot of effort, spending a lot of time hearing him out, understanding him. And I had already, you know, I could see that this was one moment, one opportunity through which we could actually bring the traditional Ayurveda of Kerala, and through Shyamala Prabhu present it to that level of society which may not easily accept some of our traditional, you know, medicines and sciences, because he had a certain way of communicating which was par excellence, and he could just impress people because he knew how to present things in a very, very concise and very amazing manner. And that came from his genuine desire to help. And I would tell him many times, "Arey, Eco Village, 8:30 at night, we all go to sleep. The Lord is put to rest at 7:30. You are the only one who is awake at night. Why don't you also sleep? You know, join the mood of the Eco Village. We sleep, you also sleep." But he had such deep desire to study that many times he would spend time at night studying, and he would respond to different patients even at the night time, because that was part of his, you know, mood to really go out of the way to help people personally and take care. So I got a phone call from Bhaktacharya Swami Maharaj, and then again on the day of his departure and also yesterday, and then he said that I really want to send an offering. You know, Bhaktacharya Swami Maharaj is also very deeply into Ayurveda last couple of years, at least a few years. And he said, I request you to share this message with the devotees. So I'll just conclude with this message. I got to know Shyamala Prabhu last October in Vrindavan. At that time, I became very sick with a terrible pain in my left foot. It was so excruciating that I could not even place my foot on the ground. And as a result of that, I was bedridden for 3 days. Shyamala Prabhu got to know about my condition from some devotee, and out of his sheer concern for me, he came to treat me. I was very impressed with him, his very handsome demeanor, charming personality, and genuine concern for my condition naturally created an immediate liking and genuine attraction. As he started to treat me, I could see his profound expertise in that field. He could immediately detect the cause of my ailment, and as he started to treat me, I could feel the relief. He applied some oil and massaged my feet for a long time. Then again, he came in the evening and treated me for the second time. When he finished his treatment, this time, I was completely cured of my pain. While he was massaging me, he was talking to me, and very quickly I got to know him quite intimately. He told me how he joined Sri Radha Gopinath temple in 97, served there for quite a few years as a brahmachari. Then he pursued his career, completing his MBBS and then Ayurveda. When I told him that I was also an ardent admirer of Ayurveda and wanted to promote this branch of Vedic wisdom in America, he immediately agreed to join hands with me, and we decided to organize seminars for him in different cities of America in the summer of 2018. Therefore, this news of his sudden departure from this planet caused such a shock and sorrow to me. When I was about to organize a few programs for him in Orlando, Miami, and a few other cities in Florida, I got this sad news and naturally became overwhelmed with distress. He was also doing so much for the Ayurvedic setup at the Eco Village, and everyone was looking up to him with so much expectation. I can well imagine how they also must be feeling now due to sudden departure from this planet. It has indeed been such a great loss for all of us. At a time like this, we cannot help but wonder why Krishna allows such a thing to happen. However, we know that He is the completely independent Supreme Lord, and we cannot question His action. However, we also know, without a shadow of doubt, that wherever He has taken our very dear Shyama Vallabh Prabhu, He must have a very wonderful plan for Him, His Holiness Bhaktacharu Swami Maharaj. So, then the night when He departed, the next day morning, I was going to begin the treatment at 6:30. And He was telling me for some time I should take some treatment, and I was telling Him I'm all right. And I would tell Him that you got conditioned to see disease everywhere. And then He was insisting He wants to do some treatment. And then I said, okay, you know, you are planning something, but I really want to meet your guru. And when he confirms, then I will follow. Because I know you from so long back that I can't take you seriously as an Ayurvedic doctor, although everyone respects you. So then, Dr. Krishna Kumar, Dr. Shashi Kumar ji, who has come all the way from Nachal, near Calicut, and Shyama Vallabh Prabhu spoke about him very highly, and he had specifically come to just confirm, because Shyama Vallabh Prabhu was having a certain analysis of Maharaja's health, and because he was so particular that whatever he would, the treatment plan he had in mind for Maharaj was fully reconfirmed by other authorities, so he had called Dr. Shashi Kumar also. So at that time I also connected with him and, had a consultation, and then he was planning certain things. And immediately after departure of Shyama Vallabh Prabhu, we were totally confused. So just 3 days back, I was there at Kerala, and I requested Dr. Shashi Kumar to come along with someone else whom he felt would be able to help us. So, out of his sheer concern and his relationship with Shyama Vallabh Prabhu and his desire to really keep the dreams and the vision of Shyama Vallabh Prabhu for authentic Ayurveda at Eco Village alive, he came here this morning and he spent some time examining Maharaj. And, the good news is that Maharaj's treatment plan continues under his guidance and direction. And also, he is willing to mentor the Govardhan Ayurveda at Govardhan Eco Village. And one of his students, Dr. Srijit, he would be coming and taking charge, and he would be overall guiding him. And we hope that this would be a fitting way in which we could reciprocate with the desires which Shyama Vallabh Prabhu had about authentic Ayurveda continuing at Eco Village. And on behalf of ISKCON community, I am really grateful to Dr. Shashi Kumar for extending himself, and let us express our gratitude to him also. Hari Bol. His Grace Shyama Vallabh Prabhu ki.
So I'll request Shashi Kumar doctor to come and speak. After him, I'll request Govind Prabhu to be kindly ready.
My humble pranam to one and all. Also, my prayers are there to Lord Dhanvantari to give salvation to the departed soul, my beloved disciple, Dr. Sanjay. He was known to me only in this name, Dr. Sanjay. Ayurveda says, there is many causes for death, and one of the causes is when one person is fulfilling all his karma, he will leave the body. So I think he fulfilled his karma and he settled everything in Govardhan village for the propagation of genuine Ayurvedic treatment. 4 years back, I was conducting continuous lectures on Ayurveda in my institution for the young doctors. I was taking classes of the higher plane of Ayurveda, which we call Rasa Shastra, that is the metallic and minerals-based treatment of Ayurveda. Whenever we need the sharp tool to tackle the complications and acute phase of diseases, we will switch over to potent medicines that is derived from the toxic metals and minerals, usually mercury, sulfur, arsenic, and so on. So I was taking classes to doctors about these things. Then one gentleman came to my room, that auditorium, and he appealed me, "May take seat in your class." So I suddenly stopped my lecturing and I gazed at him. I thought he may be a foreigner. Now foreigners are crazy about Ayurveda. Many people are coming for study Ayurveda. So I think, "Whether you are a qualified doctor," I asked. "Yes, I am," he told me. "Then take your seat," I told him. I started lecture. He was routinely one of the students in that class. One day after the completion of my lecture, he came to me for discussion. He had some ailment. He had some arthritic problem in his hands and fingers. He told me he took many Ayurvedic medicine, there was no cure. So I asked, then only I realized he's an allopath. He's not an Ayurvedic person. I asked him whether you follow something from my classes. So he told me, "No, nothing I could follow you." "Then why you are sitting in my class?" "No, I want to study all these things. That's why I keep in your class. I will take it," he told me. Then I prescribed some medicine, and the very next class he came to me and showed me his finger. The swelling is always vanished. And he asked me whether Ayurveda can cure this in diseases in this speed, in such speedily. Said, "Yes, of course, if your diagnosis is proper and selection of drug is proper, it can," I told him. He was so astonished to see the result of Ayurveda. Then I inquired about him. Who is he? From where he is coming? I asked some of my fellow people. So I got all the information. He said he's wandering all over Kerala to collect the knowledge from different teachers. He was studying deeply Ayurveda. He was going to the Kerala Ayurveda school where one of my professors was taking classes, Dr. Agnivesha. Then he was a routine person to my house. He was not a disciple at that time. He was one of my family member. When my younger daughter joined for Ayurveda course in Kottakkal 2 years back for first year, he came there and he gave so many CDs by which she can study easily the physiology and anatomy. So he was much linked with all my family members. Then he did another very, very mischievous thing in Ayurveda. It's the first first thing in Ayurvedic world. He visited so many experts of Ayurveda all over Kerala. Then he collected, recorded their speeches about the fundamental principles of Ayurveda. And he broadcasted to the Facebook all these lectures without collecting any penny from the public. That was actually a blow to the Ayurvedic fraternity of Kerala. A person, that too from allopathic field, coming to Ayurveda and studying Ayurveda and propagating Ayurveda like that. Reverse process are there many, but this is the first time that a person from Ayurveda, I mean from allopathy, coming to study Ayurveda. Then he wrote that book. He came to me to scrutinize that book, and he presented me that book. Then once he started the hospital in Vrindavan, so I was giving medicine for him to practice at Vrindavan. At Vrindavan, one of my village men was there. So he once visited his hospital. He don't know this Sanjay at that time. So he introduced, I am from Kerala, this patient. She asked him, from Kerala, which area? So he told me, I am from Karalmana, that's the name of my village. So he told him, yes, my guru is there at Karalmana. I usually visiting Karalmana to study from my guru. Then my village man astonished, you are visiting Karalmana? Yes, I wanted to study Ayurveda, that's why I visiting Karalmana regularly. Then my village person came to me and informed me this news. That time only I realized that he admitted me as a guru. So he was so ambitious about Ayurveda. I can say he was so crazy about Ayurveda. Then once he called me and told me, my guru is having some chronic ailments. Is it possible for you once visit Mumbai? So we will be very misobliged. So I found out some time and came here and visited Govardhan Eco Village, the beautiful place where the real treatment is already going on. Ayurveda's narrating, starting with the description of raga, that is the attachment. Ayurveda says raga is the roga. If there is no raga, there is no roga. Raga treatment means attachment treatment. That's already going on in Eco Village. And for polishing the body, we have to give some medicines of Ayurveda. That's enough. So, in that way, I came over here. Then, just the demise of Dr. Sanjay. Last conversation was with me. We were planning a seminar of medical astrology in Kerala. So he called me, whether you have planned to record that speeches. I told him no. So he told me, he asked me whether you can record it for me because I couldn't come over there. The very next day it was happened. So I was so stunned. He was telling everybody to approach me to take the right treatment. Many people from ISKCON itself, ISKCON Swami people also approached me. Swami Vijnana, Prabhu was there from Moscow. He came there for the treatment. Gunagrahi Das from Argentina, he came there. He was suffering from prostate cancer. Now he's pick-upping like anything. I tried primary treatment from my village. Then he went to Vrindavan under the care of Sanjay, who was pick-upped very well. So many examples are there. If he referred one case, I noticed that that case is getting cured. That's another point. How much complication it may be. The best example is Gunagrahi Das. With this, I'm withdrawing my words, my humble prayer are due to Lord Dhanvantari to offer the full blessings, full salvation to the departed soul, my beloved student. Namaste.
Thank you so much, Dr. Shashi Kumar. I request Govind Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. I'll speak as it is, because last 3 years some other came very close to Shyama Valla Prabhu, and we had many interactions. I was able to visit his land in Wayanad, and he shared so many stories of his life. When he left the Brahmacharya ashram, he was in touch with us. Then eventually he had to give up his work, as Madanant was explaining. And then some other, we had no contact with each other. Very rare. Once in a while he would come to meet Prem Nidhi Prabhu. And he would talk about, I am learning acupressure, I am learning acupuncture, I am learning so many other alternative therapy. And then suddenly, 3 years back, when he started speaking, interacting, came here, hundreds of mails, messages, eventually called to come and see his place in Wayanad. So I've written something based upon those messages and letters. When Shyama Valla Prabhu, when he was staying here, he was known for being extremely avadhut in regards to his, that time we didn't call him avadhut, we called him as a rebel. You know, we had so many meetings about not being disciplined in the ashram. So recently somebody sent this a quote, and that's what aptly represents Shyama Valla Prabhu. The line between genius and madness is notoriously thin. So my personal take on to this about his life was, he was, his genius made him what he was, his Ayurveda. Extremely talented, his cartoons, great guitar player, a singer, he was a footballer. I remember seeing him in the when he would come to Kunji Bihari temple in Pune, he would come with this Enfield bullet. No, very rare to have for the students. And he would drive very fast. That was his madness also. So I'm just speaking what I feel. I say that his genius made him what he was, but his madness what killed him. I remember asking him, how is that you came back to Ayurveda? Because when he came back from London, both he and his wife, after completing their hospice oncology, they had a job in our Reliance Hospital, very close to the temple. You know, they were looking for a couple. But that is the time he decided, I will not pursue this, I will go and pursue Ayurveda. It is but natural that those who are very close to him, his family members, always had these shocks. Now, we had shocks only for 5 years, but the family members had continuous shocks. You know, who in the world would want to do something which is not your field, and you already have a good job and close to the temple? That's what Shyama Valla Prabhu was. And because of this nature, he became what he was. When I asked him, you know, how is that you went back to Ayurveda? He said, my grandfather, I don't know from mother's side or father's side, but from both the side they were coming from a Vaidya family. He said, one of the grandfather, when he was passing away, he looked at Shyama Valla Prabhu. We always called him Shyama Valla. You know, we couldn't say Shyama Valla, as Mataji was mentioning. He said, my grandfather, he looked at me and he said, he will take this legacy of Ayurveda. But his parents wanted him to become an allopathic doctor, which he became. And I also noticed when he wanted to join, we were discussing so much. So many letters are there, you know, very confidential talks. What should I do? Should I join? Should I not join? Should I work with people or should I not work with people? I told him, Shyama Vallabh, you are like an universe. You are an universe itself. Working with people is extremely difficult. Because he always worked alone. He discovered his journey on his own. Nobody told him to become an Ayurvedic doctor. When he left the ashram, none of the ashram inmate ever told him, "Are, aapko bhi Ayurved ke jana chahiye." No, he find his path on his own. So therefore he was a universe. I said, look, if you have to work with group of people, it's not about GV, it's not about hospital, any group of people, I said, your strength is so great, but your weakness is also great. I said, four things you should do. One is treat, one is diagnose, second is treat, third is study and discover, and fourth is teach. Based upon whatever he had shared about his life, he had this great desire to have a Gurukul and train, because he met one Siddha. He sent me the picture of that Siddha also. Somebody called him from nowhere when he was in Kerala, and he said, please go and meet this Siddha person. I have the picture also on the WhatsApp message what he had sent. And he said, you go to this mountain top, you will find this Siddha, he wants to give you something. He said, where are you calling from? He said, don't ask about it, you just go there. And he took a train, bus, you know, and reservation was unheard, therefore he would cause nightmares to his family members also. You know, suddenly he went there, found that village, went to that mountain, he met that Siddha, he gave him the book. Some old manuscripts of Ashtangara there. He said, this will help you. And you told him one thing. Look, he said, my dear son, you will not make much money in your life, but you will become a great discoverer of many Ayurvedic principles. And he said, instantly you should accept a student and start teaching him. Then Shyama Vallabh Prabhu started thinking about 1, 2, 3 children, you know, based upon his interaction. And this person, he didn't speak to him. He was just thinking. And that Siddha said, no, no, whichever child you are thinking about, they are not qualified. And about one child, he said, I know whom you are thinking about. He said, call his mother. And he talked about certain particular, you know, feature of that child. I will not share that. You know, when he said that, then Shyama Vallabh Prabhu immediately called from that place itself the family member. And the father and mother said, even we had not noticed this. And he gave him that book. So he had this great desire to accept student, which he was not able to do. It was unfulfilled. I remember another teacher of his, Krishna Kumarji. You know, he always spoke to him about Krishna Kumarji and Shashi Kumarji and Matthew, who is his neighbor. He showed me that land also. You know, he would talk about his teacher. He said, Krishna Kumarji, one of his teachers, he said, when you have 5 lakh rupees, you should budget yourself to 5 lakh rupees. When you have nothing, then you think unlimited. So that was Shyama Vallabh Prabhu. You know, he had nothing in his pocket. He was basically, you know, genius people, like in the Shastra that is explained, there are certain nakshatras, they are extremely great to everybody else except their own family members. That is their chart. You know, so we can understand how we can sympathize with the people who were very close to him. You know, it was not intentional, but that is what the chart says. And then one day I said, Shyama Vallabh Prabhu, you know, what a journey I've gone through without any encouragement. Here, when you make samosa also, 4 people need to be encouraged. Oh, such a good samosa. We talk about appreciation. As he was going through this journey, there was absolutely no appreciation because nobody knew what his journey was. It was all madness. And when he was speaking about his story, I said, you know, what you have gone through, I did not contribute anything in your life. When you are learning this, not even 1 penny for your growth. It was all your journey. He said, I, as one of the members of the leadership, you know, we also regret for not supporting your cause. And this message is still there on my WhatsApp. He said, Prabhuji, it's my prarabdha alone. I feel no regret, no feeling of having done an egret austerity. And if I had a choice to do, I would still to choose to do the same. I am grateful for all the experiences. And I feel so proud and happy to have, you know, so many devotee friends. Krishna is very kind. No? As his good wife was telling, that he had no malice. He has been chastised, he has been reprimanded, he has been asked to leave the temple also, you know, because of his extreme madness, which was nothing but geniusness. But he never came back and spoke ill about any devotee. But he continued his journey with great determination. And then another time he sent a message to me. He said, my dream, because that's what the dream of his Siddha Guru. He said, my dream is that I want to have a Gurukul. And it will take 20 years. He said, I am not a mature Ayurvedic doctor. My journey started abruptly at the age of, you know, when I am 30, 35. He said, but if you want to really learn good Ayurveda, you have to learn from the age of 5 or 6. He said, I will see their chart, I will see their disposition. And I asked him, how do you do that? Some people may have the disposition. He said, when there is a disposition, to make that disposition be active, he said, you have to take them around. You know, and rather than you telling them, they will start asking questions to you. The disposition and the, you know, discovery of the disposition will make them qualified to be student. He said, I want to have 20 students. I want to train them. And therefore, he was exhibiting his geniusness. I remember one time, I'll conclude with this. One time one of his, you know, I think his wife only asked him this question. When will you retire from your medicine? He said, retirement? He said, Ayurveda, my seva itself is retirement. Till my last breath, till I have the power to function, I will continue to work for Ayurveda. That is my mukti, that is my liberation, that is my retirement. No, I will not retire from this. It is not that I am doing some mundane job to retire and to practice my devotional service. That itself my devotional service. And that fateful day, you know, what was he doing? He was going to treat somebody. He was about to exhibit his geniusness. But some other is madness, where Krishna says, one who performs one's own duty, Shreyan Swadharma Viguna. He was good in that. But unfortunately, he tried to do somebody else's duty of driving a rickshaw. And Krishna says, Paro Dharma Bhayavaha. A lesson for all of us. You know, he had to do so much to this world. As Gauram Prabhu mentioned, so many devotees mentioned. So therefore, he was going to treat, as he had told to his family members, and as Krishna explained, this is my personal feeling, that he would not go back to the spiritual world unless he creates a very systematic Ayurvedic concept. So therefore, coming back is also as good as going back to the spiritual world. Because in coming back, you know, he will help so many devotees. And when he passed away, when Vasudeva Prabhu called me, you know, we have experienced a lot of tragedy. But this one departure made so much of, you know, disorientation in regards to everything. Because there was so much of vision, so much of desire to do. And suddenly departing, it was like a castle being built and the entire castle disappeared, became non-existence. It's a very nightmare. So therefore I was pacifying myself. And I was saying to Gaur Gopal Prabhu, Braj Bihari Prabhu and other, Radha Gopinath Prabhu also, you know, we should invest on those children who have the capacity to become Ayurvedic doctors. You know, train them from early childhood. Invest on them rather than only using them. Invest on them, and when they are invested so much, and then when they come to this world, then they'll be unmatchable. I remember one of his guru, I don't know whether it is Shashi Kumar or Krishna Kumar, he said when he completed his Ayurvedic training in a Gurukul, he went around wanting to disprove everything what he had learned. He said, I'm going to go everywhere trying to disprove what I've learned. He said, last 30 years he has tried to disprove what he has learned, but he is not able to do it because that is the authenticity of learning Ayurveda from Guru Parampara. And that was his desire. And that is the only thing I feel, offering that gratitude, making a memorial for Shyamavalla Prabhu, creating a system where potential children can learn Ayurveda and contribute to specifically devotee community and also the outside community. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Govind Prabhu. We'll request His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj.
Timidandasya Gyananjana Chalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Vanshakalpatarubhyascha Kripasindubhya Evacha Patithanam Bhavanibhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. Lord Chaitanya said about Murari Gupta, who was an Ayurvedic doctor from a great heritage of Ayurveda in his family. He said, anyone who considers Murari Gupta to be simply an Ayurvedic doctor does not understand. Because Murari Gupta, whoever he treats their body, their mind, and he liberates their soul. Lord Chaitanya declared, Murari Gupta is an incarnation of Hanuman. Hanuman, when Lakshman was seriously ill in the Battle of Sri Lanka, his enthusiasm. He jumped to the Himalayas. He searched for the particular herb that was required. When it was taking too much time, he lifted the entire mountain and jumped back. That was his determination, that was his enthusiasm, his surrender, and his devotion. Shama Pallava Prabhu was truly from the core of his heart. He was a Vaishnav. He was a devotee. Like Murari Gupta. He understood that however much benefits he can do for someone's body and mind, death is inevitable. Sometimes even in the most unexpected ways. At the same time, he understood that this body is a wonderful facility by which we can serve the Lord, and by treating people's bodies, it's a wonderful opportunity to help them receive the blessings of the Lord. And that was truly his heart's motivation, to treat the body, the mind, and the soul. We've heard from several devotees, and there's so many more who would have loved to speak, but due to time factor, it's not possible. How much enthusiasm, how much genius, how much determination. On one level, we can analyze that due to some past karmas, he was truly a brilliant genius. But from a deeper perspective, it was because of his profound, burning desire to serve. That's what activated, whether it's karma or whatever, that's what activated who he was and what he accomplished. From the beginning of his life and devotional service at Sri Sri Radha Gopinath Temple, there was a profound, genuine, deep desire to please his guru, to please the Vaishnavas, to be an instrument of wonderful service for Srila Prabhupada and Lord Chaitanya's mission. And he had a calling. He saw, and he would share with me, he saw so much suffering in so many devotees' lives. And he wanted to make a difference. He saw so many ailments that were limiting what devotees could do, and he wanted to make a difference. So he dived deeply into the ocean of Ayurveda. And he developed such a higher taste, not just for the science, but for the reason he was studying the science. It was his surrender, his Sharanagati. He took shelter of his service. He was absorbed. Because devotion infused everything he did. And his Vaishnav character and qualities were so much foundational to how he did whatever he did. People had trust in him. And that's an important part of treating people. Because they're not going to follow you unless they have trust in you, because Ayurveda is not just giving a shot and then telling the next person in line to come up. It means following. Wherever I went in the world, I would find people who had so much trust in the integrity of his desire to serve them. And therefore they fully opened their hearts and were willing to follow what he was teaching. And so many were cured. But they weren't just cured. They had such appreciation for the qualities of a Vaishnava. And for people who were devotees, they showered blessings upon him. And for people who were not devotees, their appreciation for the qualities of a Vaishnava opened their hearts to receive Krishna. Srila Prabhupada explained the beginning of true devotional service is appreciation of a Vaishnava. So his Krishna bhakti was infused in all of his brilliance, in all of his determination, enthusiasm in his life. He cared. There was nothing superficial, artificial, or shallow about Shama Palabhavra. He put his heart into it because he cared. It was a service to God, and he cared. I cannot accept that whatever he planned to do was shattered. Because devotional service doesn't work that way. In Krishna consciousness, Srila Prabhupada writes, Krishna doesn't accept what we offer him. He accepts the sincerity in which it's offered. Jatayu, he went to fight Ravana. And he went to fight to win. Somehow or other, Ravana cut him down. And Sita was taken away. But Ram, when he put Jatayu on his lap, he told Jatayu, you are victorious. Because you may not have completed the particular mission of rescuing Sita, but because you gave your life to do it, therefore you are completely victorious and successful in your mission. This is the basis of bhakti. We try for the results, but our success is not the results. Our success is the sincerity, the dedication, the surrender, and the love in which we're trying to get those results. That is the actual accomplishment in the eyes of Krishna. And in the eyes of the Vaishnav community, whatever Shambhalava Prabhu dreamed of, whatever he dedicated his life for, whatever he sacrificed everything else to achieve in the service of Srila Prabhupada, his guru, the Vaishnavas, and Ayurveda, It's a complete fulfillment. It's accomplished. Nothing was shattered. He did it. Because he did it with all sincerity. And because he pleased Krishna. He pleased his Guru and the Vaishnavas in his efforts. From our perspective in this world, what happened? And what will happen? We live with trust. What's lost is not what he gave his life to try to accomplish. Krishna will compensate. Krishna will not allow a devotee who has sacrificed everything to do something so wonderful in the service of the Vaishnava and humanity to have that go in vain. Ramchandra, if for nothing else, he was going to get Sita back for the glory of Jatayu. So that Jatayu's efforts did not go in vain. What to speak of his love for Sita? Krishna has his plan. And Krishna's plan for his sincere, dedicated devotees is always perfect. We may not understand. We cannot understand. Perhaps sometimes we're not even supposed to understand logically why something happens. Achint, it's inconceivable. But where logic has its limitations, faith can take us beyond. Into the realm of truth, into the realm of love. We have faith in Krishna's words and in the words of the scriptures and the acharyas that for a devotee, however things may appear to our mind and senses, we should know one thing. For a sincere devotee who dedicates their lives, even if their mind may be a little racing here and there, if their hearts are in the right place, in their spirit of surrender, Krishna will do what is perfect for that devotee. And I believe that Krishna has done what was perfect for our beloved Shyama Balabha. Perfect for his spiritual progress, and also perfect, how inconceivable it may be for us now, for the mission he gave his life to. Neha vikramanastosti pratyavayo navidyate svalpam apyasya dharmate trayate mahatoba. In devotional service, Krishna tells, nothing is ever lost. And that's on many levels. It's not just on the level of our own personal spiritual progress. That's for sure. But it's also in the mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Srila Prabhupada, and Sri Radha Gopinath that we're striving for. What is lost? His eternal soul is with Krishna. According to Krishna's will, Krishna has taken him where Krishna wants him. Perfectly out of Krishna's supreme, all-encompassing, perfect love. That's where his soul is. We can celebrate his good fortune. We could celebrate his life. But what is lost is our association in this material world from such a wonderful person. I'm not personally missing him because of his Ayurveda, because Krishna will compensate. I'm missing him because of the love, the devotion, the surrender, and the sweet character in which he did his Ayurveda, and in which he chanted the holy names, and in which he was determined to serve in everything and every way that we heard of today. That body that he was residing in was a medium by which he was shining with Krishna consciousness to enlighten the world. He was a friend. For me, he was a dearest friend, a dearest son, a dearest inspiration, a dearest doctor. His smile, his sincerity, as Govinda Prabhu said, his madness, which was an expression of his enthusiasm and his brilliance to serve. His soft, tender, compassionate heart that was filled with Krishna. We have lost that association. And our hearts cry. Those tears are our offerings of love and gratitude to his eternal soul. And with those tears, we can celebrate a wonderful, beautiful life that inconceivably, but perfectly, departed in the way it did from our vision. Thank you very much.
We have flowers given to everyone, and they can offer those flowers to Prabhuji here. So after the prayers, devotees can come in a queue, collect those flowers and offer it to Prabhu. There will be two queues separately for Matajis and Prabhujis.
karuna prachur jayan nila prema dhana karuna prachu eno prabhu kotha kela acharya Thaku Hena Prabhu Kotha Gela Acharya Thaku Swarup Rupa Kaha Sanata Kaha Mara Swarup Rupa Kaha sanata Kaha dasa raghunata patita pava Kahadasa raghunata patita pava Kahamara patha yuga kaha kavira Eka kole kotha gela Gauranatha ra Asane kutipa mata Anande pasipa Goranga gunera nidhi kota gele pabo से सपा संगी रसंगे जे कैलवीला से संगना पाया खंडे नरोथा मोटा प्रेमाथाना खारुना प्राच्छो एनो प्रभु खोथा केला आचार्य हरे कृष्णा हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hari 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 Krishna, Hari Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hari Hari, Hari Rama, Hari Rama, Rama Rama, Hari Hari. Hari Krishna, Hari Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hari Hari, Hari Rama, Hari Rama, Rama Rama, Hari Hari. Hari Krishna, Hari Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hari Hari, Hari Rama, Hari Rama, Rama Rama, Hari Hari. Hari Krishna, Hari Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hari Hari, Hari Rama, Hari Rama, Rama Rama, Hari Hari. Hari Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hari Hari, Hari Rama, Hari Rama, Rama Rama, Hari Hari.
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Rama Rama